The plan that's right for you, and you could catch the Billikens take on Atlantic 10 opponents, including VCU, UMass, and LaSalle. Visit slubillikens.com. It's Billiken time.
Hi, I'm Mayor Tom Schneider. Merry Christmas from Florissant, the oldest and largest city in the county. Founded in 1786, we love our safe, patriotic, faith-based, historic town, where Father DeSmet said midnight mass for St. Rose, Philip, and DeShin. We are a city of very active veterans with many events to honor the service and sacrifice of our military. It's truly an honor for Florissant to participate in this welcome home to those in uniform for the holidays. Learn more about our beautiful patriotic city in the Valley of Flowers at FlorissantMo.com.
You'll find a sleigh full of savings this Tuesday through Thursday at Kohl's. For 3 days only, get great gifts under $20. Like Marvel and Star Wars action figures for just $11.99 each. A Disney Frozen watch for only $14.99. Pick up a Black & Decker coffee maker for $19.99. And select fragrance gift sets are just $19.49 each. You'll earn Kohl's cash, too. See store or Kohl's.com for details. Great gifts under $20 this Tuesday through Thursday. Find your yes. Kohl's.
This Christmas, don't forget to tell the people in your life how much you care with a Hallmark card. Pick up one today at the Hallmark Department at Walgreens.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Oric. All locally owned and operated, the Oric Home Center is the place to go to get vacuum cleaners and other cleaning supplies for your home. While you're there, check out the new Oric Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner, the newest in the Oric line. O-R-E-C-K spells Oric. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, and Colin Jeffrey joins us now to talk about movies. Hi, Colin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. This poor thing.
Thank you for not canceling my segment.
Well, we heard from the North Korean government, and they said, you know, Colin's on our watch list. Have you seen the interview?
No. They canceled the screening.
Yeah, last night there was supposed to be a screening, and I got the email in the morning about Sony's official announcement. They said, in light of the decision by the majority of our exhibitors not to show the film, we've decided not to move forward with the planned December 25th theatrical release. We respect and understand our partner's decision and, of course, completely share their paramount interest in the safety of employees and theatergoers. We've been the victim of an unprecedented criminal assault against our employees, our customers, and our business. Those who attacked us stole our intellectual property, private emails, and sensitive and proprietary material, and sought to destroy our spirit and our morale. We stand by our filmmakers in their right to free expression and are extremely disappointed by this outcome. And the FBI earlier today announced that they said that they now have enough information to conclude that the North Korean government is responsible for these actions. And President Obama had a press conference a couple hours ago in which he said it was a mistake for Sony to pull the movie. The man who President Obama defeated in the last election, Mitt Romney, even tweeted on this. He says, Sony Pictures, don't cave. Fight. Release the interview for free online globally and ask viewers for a voluntary $5 contribution to fight Ebola. Now, let me just say one thing about that. Horrible idea, because after Sony has been hacked, who's going to give them their credit card information?
Yes.
Nobody. Judd Apatow tweeted, I think it's disgraceful that these theaters are not showing the interview. Will they pull any movie that gets an anonymous threat now? George Clooney said, we're talking about an actual country deciding what content we're going to have. We cannot be told we can't see something by Kim Jong-un, of all freaking people. And Michael Moore said, I received numerous threats before the release of Fahrenheit 9/11. We were warned not to show it, but that didn't deter us from releasing it. So what's your take on all of this, Colin? You think Sony was right?
Well, I think it was shocking that it's this big of a story. 2 weeks ago, we had a 600-page report release as to what the American government did to detainees. Mm-hmm. And this received a fraction of the coverage this has gotten.
You're right, yeah.
Putting that in that perspective, there's a few thoughts I have on this. Sony is taking a lot of heat. We have to remember, Sony's a distributor of this. Their job is to take this film. They go out and say, yeah, we think we can market this film. So we're going to give you some money. We're going to put you in touch with producers. You're going to make this film. And then our job is to secure distribution for it. And in the case of that, that meant theaters. So they went out and they had several thousand theaters lined up to show it. And those theaters said, you no longer have a home. To see a film like this go from realistically 3,000, probably even more than that, theaters, down to a few hundred that were still even willing to put it on, would be disastrous. That would, there'd be no point in doing it. You would just create more ire in showing it anywhere, because imagine if something happens now. You take the outside chance that something happening, you're going to get even more bad press.
And so, the reason the theaters pulled it is because there were threats against the theaters by these same hackers.
Generic threats that said 9/11 type attacks, which...
And then the theaters will be held responsible if somebody gets injured.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we have to remember an attack has happened in a movie theater,
not related to any...
Yeah,
right.
In Aurora. So I think Sony is taking an undue amount of bad press for this. That being said, the other issue that I haven't heard discussed is it isn't anytime someone is fired for saying something or publicly scorned for saying something, everyone says, oh, they're violating their First Amendment rights. In this, it's important to remember Sony is not violating anyone's First Amendment rights. It's the U.S. government's job to protect our First Amendment rights. So if you feel like we're being censored or, you know, creative expression is being squashed in America, don't complain to Sony. It's not their job to protect our rights.
Well,
complain to the government.
But the government didn't tell Sony, you have to pull this. They didn't tell movie theaters, you can't show this. They didn't tell Seth Rogen, you can't make this. That's the only time the First Amendment comes into play, is when the government squashes free speech.
Exactly. We have
businesses tell people what to do and what not to say all the time, people who work for them.
Yeah. Oh, which is why if you want to talk about the First Amendment, you have to go to the government and say,
right,
that's where the issue lies. Now, do I agree with them pulling it? I got to be honest, I'm kind of indifferent. Like, that's they could pull it, they could not pull it.
Have you seen any reviews of the movie? I know you and I couldn't see it last night.
I heard one, too, and it wasn't that glowing. It was just...
Well, I read one. Seth Rogen tweeted it out on the 13th of December, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, by and large, fairly positive. It didn't say this is something...
Well, one Seth sent out.
Yeah, of course the one. He's not going to link to one that goes, this is a piece of crap.
That's one I read. It said they take some risks, but they do a good job of kind of distinguishing between North Korean people and sort of a cartoonishly evil leader. And they do that. But again, they didn't say it's like, this is the best comedy I've ever seen. They said, there's some laughs in it. You're not going to watch it more than once,
though. But you saw one that was very negative?
Not really negative. It's just like, it's amazing that this much is happening over a movie that was going to be, in this reviewer's eyes, not just a run of the okay, decent comedy.
It's a $70 million movie that maybe $150 million, and it wasn't going to do nothing internationally, let's be honest. It wasn't going to have huge international receipts.
Okay, so what about the people who are saying, well, okay, Sony, you can't get movie theaters to show it, put it online.
Sony came out just about an hour ago, I think, and said they have yet to find a company who's willing to host it video on demand.
And then you got all of the internet service providers and phone companies and other firms that
they're
not going to want to get involved.
Realistically, this will probably end up in a drawer, and I wouldn't be shocked if in several months we see it released somehow, because...
Well, Sony says now, you know, it's not going to go out anywhere.
But...
In fact, they got a thing today from the hackers essentially telling them, look, you can't put this out there anywhere.
Yeah.
In any form.
I don't know that I would trust someone who says, we will hold on to this so long as you never do this other thing. That seems...
Well, let's talk about the fallout from this, though. Are movie makers going to, and creative types, not want to do business with Sony after this?
I don't know. I think they have something in their back pocket coming up that is going to renew a lot of faith from the artistic filmmaker standpoint. They've got a movie coming out in March, and I want to make certain I get the name of this right, because it's a really unique movie. It's called Chappie. It's by Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9.
District 9, yeah.
And really sort of, he's a sci-fi storyteller, but always puts sort of morality in there. The idea of Chappie is this is the first artificial intelligence robot, and it starts to learn that it's a very sort of heartwarming tale of it learning that it is a robot and not human. And
didn't Steven Spielberg already do that with a movie called AI?
What's
the kid from Sixth Sense?
Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, wasn't that him?
This machine is kidnapped. because its creator, the machine's creator, Chappie's creator, didn't want it to know that it had, it was intelligent. It was trying, and it gets kidnapped and sort of allowed to explore its boundaries of artificial intelligence. This is a very independent film. This is something that is going to do well sort of in the art house scene. So do I think long-term impacts? No, but business-wise, yeah, they don't have a lot of movies that come out every year.
Now, let me ask you an important question. Can I play a piece of the interview on the radio right now?
I don't see why not. They put trailer. It was still on my TV last night. They're still running previews for it saying, hey, come watch it. I don't see why we couldn't run a clip.
In the movie, James Franco is a TV talk show host, and Seth Rogen is his producer. And Seth Rogen wants him to do more substantive things on the show.
Probably
more,
like an Access Hollywood kind of interviewer and things like that.
But he wants to do more newsy stuff. And so he pushes him to get bigger interviews. Roll it.
Look at this.
Kim Jong-un wants to do an interview with Dave Skylark?
He's a fan! Look at him! If that ain't a real story, what is?
Okay, let's do it.
I'm going to North Korea!
Mr. Rappaport, I'm Agent Lacey with Central Intelligence. You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim.
We got the interview!
The CIA would love it if you could take him out.
Hmm?
Take him out.
Like for drinks?
Like to dinner?
Take him out of the town?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What?
Okay, that's the basic concept of the movie. And by the way, the woman in that is Lizzie Kaplan, who is so good as Virginia Johnson on Showtime's Masters of Sex.
Mm-hmm.
This was going to be a big movie role for her, jumping from TV to movies.
Yes.
And now it's not going to happen. I'm sorry for her. I don't really care what happens to James Franco and Seth Rogen. They've already made millions.
They're going
to
be
But
fine.
I like her a lot, even with her clothes on. She's naked a lot on that show.
She's really good in a show that was on Starz several years back called Party Down. It's about,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. I really like her in that.
Yeah. Can Sony get their money back? I know that there's something in the movie business called a completion bond, where if your movie doesn't get finished because, you know, Tom Cruise is your star and he hurts himself doing a stunt and he can't finish the movie, the insurance company essentially pays for the costs of everything that you would have lost. Can Sony go to their insurance company now and say, well, we did finish the movie, but we can't release it because North Korea will kill us?
Well, I was reading something, I don't know, earlier today about this, and my understanding is right now it doesn't appear they can, but again, I'm not a lawyer. Who knows? They're all going to go and figure this
They're
out.
They're going to try.
They're definitely going to try, because Sony has Annie coming out. Then they have in January one movie coming out called The Wedding Ringer that is going to be a really bad comedy. I'm making this prediction. It's going to be awful.
Okay.
And then they've got March, Chappie. They don't release a lot of movies. A $70 million hit is tough to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not just talking $125 or $150 million box office, people buying it, people renting it, video on demand at the end of that. This is a huge, huge loss.
Seth Rogen movies make money.
They do. Even that awful Green Hornet still made money.
But this is the end. Was that this year or last year?
2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, that was a pretty
last year
funny.
Was The Neighbors.
Yeah,
oh,
I enjoyed
yeah.
that movie.
Yeah, This is the End was pretty funny and made a lot of money for him. And so, you know, he was probably going to be in business making movies for a while. But now not only does Sony not make the $150 million, but they have the swing to the $70 million they lose.
This is a huge hit for them. So you can bet they're going to be in court trying to figure out how can we get our money.
Now, here's what I don't understand about this. This is not the first time that somebody's made a movie making fun of a world leader. In fact, in 1940...
Yes.
Charlie Chaplin made a wonderful movie called The Great Dictator, in which he played a barber who was mistaken for Adolf Hinkel, not Hitler, but he looks just like him and he acts just like him, and he makes fun of Hitler for the entire movie. Now, in 1940, the United States was not in World War II yet. That didn't come until December of 1941. But Europe was. Mm-hmm. The World War for them started in 1939 or so. Mm-hmm. And in 1940, that was a hot subject. Guess how many movie theaters in Europe and America refused to show The Great Dictator? Zero.
Zero.
Hitler! Kim Jong-il, Hitler! They showed the movie in every movie theater.
Yes.
And it's not the first time that North Korea has been the subject of this. Even on The Big Bang Theory on CBS, there was an episode in season 3 called The Staircase Implementation, in which Leonard gets involved with a North Korean woman named Joyce Kim, who's more interested in stealing his formula for rocket fuel than having a romantic interlude with him. And you can go back to Pierce Brosnan's last Bond movie, Die Another Day.
Yes.
A.K.A. the Halle Berry movie.
Oh. Yeah.
Takes him about 30 seconds in the movie to get her in bed.
It has the classic shout-out. She's walking out in the same bikini.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
But in that movie, it starts off with Bond having been captured and tortured for 14 months by North Koreans. And even 30 Rock did a thing about Kim Jong-un. Was it Un or Il when they did this?
Il.
Was it Il at the time?
I think so. That's what it says here.
And that's the current guy, right?
No. Un is current. Il is past.
Okay, so this was this was the father.
Il was ill. He passed.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Is it Pizzeria Il or Pizzeria Uno? I can never remember.
I don't know.
So this is Tina Fey as Liz Lemon, her character, stumbling upon a waiter at an event.
Excuse me, lady. You do the vow? You know, speak now or forever hold your peace pot.
Oh, my God. Are you?
No. I'm nobody. Kim Jong-il is dead. I'm only waiter. I'm greatest waiter of all time.
Now, 30 Rock did that. No problem. Even the South Park guys, when they made the movie Team America World Police, they had Kim Jong-il.
And the Kim Jong-il puppet died in that movie.
Yes.
Yes. Well, he didn't die. It turned out he was actually controlled. He was a machine and controlled by an alien cockroach inside that at the end of the movie hops into a UFO and says, I'll be back.
I hate when that happens.
Was that a true story?
That
yes.
Was, based on. They didn't use the actual transcript.
Oh, okay.
Based on a true story. And there was a movie theater in Dallas, the Alamo Drafthouse, that was going to show, they were going to show the interview. And when they were told by Sony, you can't show the interview, they said, okay, well, we'll just show Team America. And a bunch of other movie theaters around the country said, great idea. We're going to get the DVD as well, and we'll show it. And then Paramount, which owns Team America, said, nope, you're not going to do that with our movie.
Yeah, we don't want to be lumped into this.
Yeah.
So.
A classy movie of marionettes. So, performing questionable acts.
I mean, it's gotten completely out of control, hasn't it?
This is a. I can't believe how large this story has become.
Oh, wait. Here's one more fallout from it. New Regency Pictures was getting ready to make a movie starring Steve Carell taking place in North Korea. Canceled.
It had gotten the green light, and now they said, nope, they took it back.
Has there ever been a single country on Earth that could tell the rest of the world, do not make movies about us?
Is that what they sound like over there?
That is.
Oh.
I don't do impressions, Dan, as I prove here every Friday.
I am Kim Jong-un. Do not make movies about me or my father, who was ill.
Yeah, that's exactly how it sounded in the press conference. So, I mean, this is unprecedented.
It really is. And it goes all the way back to the first trailer. Korea said then, if this movie's released, we will consider it an act of war. You may remember.
Yes.
The first trailer. So, yes.
And then they hacked and got into Sony's emails.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian was telling me he was reading about some of the emails that were going back and forth between Amy Pascal, who's the co-chairman of Sony Pictures Entertainment, and some of her people, and Seth Rogen, who produced and wrote and stars in the movie.
And the Sony CEO, Kaz. I'll just call him that.
Okay.
I think that's his nickname.
Okay.
Yeah, so there were emails going back and forth, and so they would Seth would send them shots of the just this assassination scene, and then Amy, the go-between.
Which, by the way, is online. You can find the assassination scene online.
Yes.
It's only about 6 seconds long, but you do get to see Kim Jong-un's head explode from the inside out. But these emails are about how that was going to look on screen.
Right. And so Seth would send them shots of what the scene would look like. Amy would talk to the head of Sony, and Sony said, no, we want to change that. So some of the quotes here from Seth's emails say, we will make it less gory. There are currently 4 burn marks on his face. We will take out 3 of them, leaving only 1. We reduce the flaming hair by 50%. The head explosion can't be more obscured than it is, because we honestly feel that if it's any more obscured, you won't be able to tell it's exploding, and the joke won't work. Do you think this will help? Is it enough? And then there's still more back and forth. And so Seth's final one is, this is it. We remove the fire from the hair and the entire secondary wave of head chunks. Please tell us this is over now. Thanks so much.
And this was before North Korea got involved with criticizing Sony over this. This is standard movie-making BS.
July through October.
About how involved the studio is in what is going to be in a movie that they're going to release
ahead of time.
Not just precautions, but that they nitpick about this sort of stuff. That's one of the reasons I like being where we are right now, where we can kind of do what we want and nobody nitpicks that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well, nobody listens. That helps, too.
That helps, yes.
Shh, don't tell management we're on the air. But, I mean, I will tell you, and I know Frank feels exactly the same way, if management of a radio station ever treated us the way they're treating Seth Rogen there, and by the way, treat every movie that's made. If you think it's just him, every movie that's made, they nitpick about the tiniest little stuff. Sometimes it might be a big issue, but they're on them constantly. If somebody did that to us, we would have two words to say to them. I quit. That would be it. Oh, I'd just walk out the door.
The two words I was thinking
I know what you were thinking of, Dan.
Yes, sir. Right, Dan?
Yes.
Yes, sir. That's
I mean, that meddling by everybody at the top of that corporate pyramid would just drive me crazy.
Yes. Uncreative people, yes. It's usually that's involved.
Exactly
too.
Right. Exactly right. So we're never going to see the movie.
I hope. I almost hope we do. Just so we have something to say. Was it worth it? But I'm not holding my breath.
Something to reference to.
Yes. If only so we can see if the secondary wave of head chunks did make it into the unrated version.
So what movies are actually opening this weekend?
Well, we've got a couple. Well, we've got a family movie. The third Night at the Museum,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that one. We have
that's the final one with Robin Williams, right?
We can hope it's a final. We can hope it's a final Night at the Museum. It is with Robin Williams. It's one of his final movies.
So there were three. I don't think I saw the second one.
Neither
was
that
the Smithsonian?
Oh, the Smithsonian. I thought that was good. Yeah, I thought it was good.
It wasn't bad. This comes from a very original. I liked the original premise for these. Every night at the New York Museum of History, everything wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one's sort of this caper. It works out. It's just a nice, tidy little story.
Yeah, it was clever.
I liked it.
Original.
The second one was, okay, same formula, grander scale, sort of got sloppy. This is just not good. This is not good. What worked with the other two, adults and kids could enjoy it. If you're over 13... you won't like this movie. There's nothing there for you. Parents,
really?
Parents are going to be pulling their hair out. It's rough to sit through.
Wow.
And this, again, I'm not just tearing this down saying, oh, it's a Ben Stiller movie. I like Ben Stiller. I think the formula for these has worked all right, but it's time to set it aside. We are done with these.
Well, Dan, not just over the age of 13, the brain of a 13.
Yes.
So you're okay, Dan.
You're
all right.
I'm going to go see it then.
0 to 10 scale? What do you think?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It's rough.
All right. I have two movies to mention today, and one is an extreme disappointment. It's called Foxcatcher. Now, you may have been hearing good things about this from other reviewers. They were not in the same theater that I was.
Is this the Steve Carell?
Yes. Okay. This is the movie where Steve Carell plays John DuPont, who was a very, very rich man who decided he was going to essentially oversee the United States Olympic wrestling team. And
this is a very serious role for him.
Very, very serious. This is not a comedy at all. If you do go see this, which would be a mistake to begin with, but if you do go see it expecting a comedy, you are going to be sorely disappointed. I will say that Steve Carell does a fine job. He's wearing prosthetics and makeup so that you can hardly tell it's him. When he's on the screen, you might even go 10 minutes before you say, oh, that's Steve Carell. I didn't even realize that was him. And he's fine in the role. And Mark Ruffalo is fine. And the other actors, they're all fine. But the movie is 2 hours of boredom. Just boring. It goes slowly. There's not a lot of action. You don't care at all about any of these characters. I don't care what you hear from other reviewers. I'm telling you right now, Foxcatcher is one of the worst movies of the year.
Really?
Yes. 1 out of 10.
Yeah, wow. And that's all you heard when
this was one of my most anticipated movies.
He's going to win awards for this.
I know. I'm telling you, they're wrong. It was horrible. And I was in a movie theater with maybe about 9 or 10 other critics when I saw this. And when we all walked out, we looked at each other like, what the hell was that? What a waste of time. Terrible. Now, the other movie I have for you is The Imitation Game, which is a movie that stars Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing, who is a brilliant guy a mathematician who in World War II was brought in by the British government to help crack the code of the Enigma. The Enigma was the machine that the Nazis were using to encode their messages, and it was an unbreakable code. Even if you had an Enigma machine, which the Allies did get their hands on, you still couldn't break the code because you didn't know how the machine did the coding and uncoding. And so they brought in Alan Turing and three or four other brilliant mathematicians to figure this out. And the movie is essentially about them doing that, while at the same time, you flash forward 10 years to Alan Turing being prosecuted for being gay, which in England in 1943 was against the law. And so he had kind of covered that up, and now they come and they find out about that. And so you have those two parallel stories going on. He's really, really good in the role. Keira Knightley is also good as the woman who gets involved with him and in the project. She's also a brilliant mathematician, great at puzzles and all that sort of stuff. And with her help and the help of three other men who are on their team, they eventually did break Enigma. I'm not spoiling it for you.
65-year-old spoiler alert.
70-year-old history. I don't have to say spoiler alert. Lincoln dies at the end of Lincoln. Spoiler alert!
What?
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. I really enjoyed the movie. It is a drama through and through, but the performances and the writing and the way they have designed the movie in parallel with those two stories really, really works. 7.5 out of 10.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
For The Imitation Game. Go see that instead of Foxcatcher.
Oh, it's a shame.
All right. Now, we have to take a break here. Can you stick around and run down like a best and worst of the year list?
Yes.
Okay. We'll do that when we come back in a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS. Meet me.
Let's check traffic now. Here's Tim Wiley.
You know, I remember when I was in the other day when Ian was gone.
Yeah.
Colin came in and he was talking about the movie and he said, I don't believe there really was a movie called The Interviewer. He said, I think it was just a bunch of trailers. That's all they're showing. I thought that was great. I thought, you know what that could be?
No, because we know that there are people who've seen the whole thing.
Now they've seen it all.
Unfortunately.
Well, it's good thought, Colin.
And no matter how bad the reviews of The Interview were, wasn't as bad as Foxcatcher.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. All right, I am looking at several accidents right now. You've got one on westbound 44 west of the Merrimack River. Two left lanes are blocked. Eastbound 44 east of 141, the right lane is blocked. We've got westbound 270 at 367. The left lane is blocked there. You've got a good backup. On eastbound 40, things are jamming up now because there's a crash near Clarkson that has a lane blocked. You have slow traffic on southbound 270 from Page all the way down through Highway 44. Eastbound 40 downtown is jamming up from Compton to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by Kohl's. It's a sale so big, Kohl's is open 24 hours. Starting today through 6 p.m. Christmas Eve, find your yes, Kohl's. Hours may vary by location, see store or Kohl's.com for details. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Wyland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, Martin Kilcoyne here, wishing you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. I want to thank you for being part of our listening family, and I hope you and your family have a great holiday season.
Happy holidays from all of us at the Big 550 KTRS.
Are you over 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds? If so, the next 60 seconds are crucial to your well-being because we're giving away free trials of new Garcinia Cambogia to anyone looking to lose the maximum amount of weight. To experience the most dramatic weight loss, you must be over 25 and want to lose more than 30 pounds. Call now for your free full-size trial. 1-800-500-6363. A famous doctor called Garcinia Cambogia the holy grail of weight loss, and it's no wonder why. New Garcinia Cambogia is so powerful, you can lose up to 4 pant sizes without starving yourself or spending hours at the gym. But hurry. Due to overwhelming demand, there's a strict limit of 1 free trial per household. Again, if you're over 25 and need to lose more than 30 pounds, it's crucial that you write down this number for your free trial of New Garcinia Cambogia. 1-800-500-6363. 1-800-500-6363. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-500-6363.
Give the gift that lasts all season long. Cardinals 5 and 10 game ticket packs are on sale now and feature 2015's top games and promotional dates. Choose from the 5-game bobblehead pack, which features 4 bobblehead dates, including Molina, Carpenter, Berkman, and Harry Carey, or the popular opening day pack, which includes your seat to the most premium game of the year, opening day, plus 5 weekend games and more. Ticket packs start at just $79 and are on sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday.
This holiday season, give the gift of... Give the gift of Cardinals baseball. 2015 all-inclusive tickets are on sale now and feature a full buffet, complimentary beer and soda, plus a great view of the game. Choose from the UMB Champions Club, Bank of America Club, the Coca-Cola scoreboard patio, and more. Give the gift of date nights, the gift of memories, the gift of Cardinals baseball. Get your 2015 single-game all-inclusive tickets now at cardinals.com/holiday.
Firehouse Subs.
Maybe it's the way our USDA choice beef brisket is hickory smoked over 16 hours, then smothered in melty cheddar and special sauces in our own smokehouse beef and cheddar brisket.
Perhaps it's all the tender corned beef brisket, juicy pastrami, and melty provolone piled high in our New York steamer.
The combination of steaming hot smoked turkey breasts, Virginia honey ham, and melty Monterey Jack in our best-selling cooking ladder.
Or the aged Genoa salami, herb spice pepperoni, sweet Virginia honey ham, and melty provolone in the Firehouse Italian.
I'm Chris Sorensen.
And I'm Robin Sorensen.
We're the founders of Firehouse Subs.
We're not sure what makes our 10 specialty subs so special. Might be the fact that they're gourmet subs without the gourmet prices.
Firehouse Subs.
One bite, one taste, you're hooked.
When is the last time you went to the dentist? When is the next time you're going to go to the dentist? A family practice by a family that cares, that's Bowen Dental Care. Bowen Dental Care on Dunn Road in Florissant has been serving the community for over 40 years. And if you're looking for a new smile, straighter teeth, or if you have spacing or crowning issues, right now Dr. Bowen at Bowen Dental Care is offering $500 off Invisalign. Invisalign is a way to straighten your teeth without using braces, and it's a much more comfortable option. The Bowen family in Florissant is the official dentist office of the McGraw Show on the Big 550 KTRS. Your answer to all of your dental needs under one roof, Bowen Dental Care. Get the treatment you and your family deserve by a family that cares. Bowen Dental Care in Florissant, 314-921-3500. That's 314-921-3500. And you can always find them online at BowenDentalCare.com. That's B-O-A-I-N, BowenDentalCare.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-953-4036. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-953-4036. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-953-4036.
Guys, are you looking for the perfect holiday gift for that special someone? Blow them away with a gift certificate from Blown Away Blow Dry Bar. So easy to purchase and print online at blownawaystl.com. It's the hottest new must-see salon. Just wash, blow, go for only $35. And a kiss and makeup bar, too. Blown Away Blow Dry Bar, 8815 Ladue Road in the New Colonial Market. Marketplace in Clayton. Mention the Big 550 and get $550 off your first blowout or gift certificate. BlownAwaySTL.com.
You know, one of the hardest things in life is to try to find that perfect gift. Well, if that person's a golfer, there's only one place to go. Pro-Am Golf. For 35 years, they've been outfitting golfers with the finest equipment available, and they make shopping even easier with their superb website, ProAmGolfUSA.com. Apparel, clubs, bags, balls, footwear, everything a golfer would need or want is just a click away. Go to ProAmGolfUSA.com. That's ProAmGolfUSA.com. Problem solved.
Almost half of all Americans are forced to retire unexpectedly. Could you be next? This week on America's Wealth Management Show, discover how to retire on your terms.
America's Wealth Management, Saturday at 11 a.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white.
It's the Friday edition of the large morning show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris, Hans Strauss, Ian Geis, And Colin Jeffrey here for his weekly showbiz segment. And since this is our last show together in 2014, I think we should look back on the best and maybe if we have time, even the worst movies of the year. Do you have a top 10 list of the year?
I've got some movies here. Okay. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with 10? We'll go back and forth.
Or? Well, I don't have them in order.
Oh, you're, okay. So we'll just talk
about. I just have a random group of 10 movies that I thought were great this year.
Okay, with I sort of have them broken down into kind of genre.
Okay,
in sort of the action movies, I think Guardians of the Galaxy, Snowpiercer, and Edge of Tomorrow were my favorite sort of action movies
okay.
of the year.
Okay,
Take Five. Or top five.
Top five.
Top five.
Yeah.
Was in my top five. That was one of my favorite
That's
movies.
That's the funniest movie of the year.
Oh, easily. And I just thought it was really, really good. I liked everything about it.
Yep.
Nightcrawler.
Yep.
Birdman.
Yep.
I liked both of those quite a bit.
Birdman has one of the more remarkable scenes of the year. I'm not going to spoil anything from the movie by telling you there's a scene with Michael Keaton and Edward Norton face to face at full intensity that blows everything else that was on the screen in any movie away the entire year.
If that isn't in their package for the Oscars right there for both of them, best actor,
yeah.
I don't know what would be. We both like that quite a bit.
I agree.
I forgot from the summer one other action movie. I feel bad adding this, but X-Men Days of Future Past, I really enjoyed quite a bit. Gone Girl is, I think, my last of the 10. I like that.
Oh, that was number one for me. The number one movie of the year was Gone Girl.
For me, it was Nightcrawler. I thought that was such a good blend of sort of satire, drama, action.
Yeah. I liked the ones that you mentioned there. Some of them I didn't see. The big blockbuster special effects movies, but Nightcrawler and Top Five and Birdman and Gone Girl were all on my list. I also would add some smaller movies like a comedy called Obvious Child with Jenny Slate from Saturday Night Live and many other things that she's done, particularly for Adult Swim. It's the only comedy that I know of based on a woman having an abortion. Not a woman deciding not to have an abortion like Juno, but a woman who is going to have an abortion. It's called Obvious Child. It was wonderful.
I saw it on DVD. I didn't even think about that. I really enjoyed that quite a bit, yeah.
Also, a movie called Whiplash with the most intense performance of the year by J.K. Simmons, who you may know from the insurance company commercials on TV or his years on Law & Order or Oz. He gives a remarkable performance. If he is not nominated for an Academy Award this year, they should shut the Oscars down. That's how great his performance was. And Miles Teller, the kid who is in the movie with him, J.K. Simmons is a music teacher at the most prestigious music school in the country. Miles Teller is this new student who comes in there to learn how to be a better drummer. He's already a really good drummer. This is to have him learn to be a better drummer. And J.K. Simmons is so abusive to him, both physically and especially verbally, that you're going to walk out of the building hating this guy. But Miles Teller's character has to figure out, do I need this guy in my life, even though it's hell just to talk to him, let alone be taught by him. So that's called Whiplash. Then there's Boyhood. Did you see that?
No, I missed that one. I really want to
see it.
This is
the one that was made by Richard Linklater over the course of a dozen years. And it's not a movie that takes place over 12 years, but they shot in 30 days. It took place over 12 years, and they shot it over 12 years with the same actors. Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette are the stars of the movie. Very, very good movie. Then there's Wes Anderson's Grand Budapest Hotel with Ralph Fiennes.
I didn't even think of that as this year, because that's before I was doing this, but I really enjoyed that movie.
Wonderful, wonderful palette of colors in the movie, and bizarre characters like Wes Anderson usually has. I do not like any other Wes Anderson movie, but I really enjoyed Grand Budapest Hotel. There's The Theory of Everything with the performance by Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking. Stunningly good. Again, Oscar-worthy performance, and Felicity Jones very good as Hawking's wife, Jane. And then finally, of the best movies of the year, I have to write up The Trip to Italy, which is a sequel to The Trip with the two comedians, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, who get into the battle of the impressions, whether it's Michael Caine or any of the others that they are doing. And it's essentially based on a TV series they did in England, and they snipped it together into a movie, and it works because it's linear as they go from place to place in Italy, essentially just eating and talking. That sounds boring, but they're funny, funny guys. And so that would be my top 10 list. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, what do you think are the worst movies of the year?
Well, it's sad. There's a tie for third worst movie of the year, and it's between two comedies, A Million Ways to Die in the West and Tammy.
No, I did not see Tammy. What was that?
Oh, that,
that was the Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Goes on the cross-country escapades with Susan Sarandon, her grandmother.
Yeah.
Her husband directed it, right?
Yes, her husband directed it and was a character in it, and...
A Million Ways to Die in the West, Seth MacFarlane.
Bad.
It's proof that Seth MacFarlane can do animation but can't do live action. Well, he proved that at the Oscars last year.
Yes.
But, wow, that was horribly bad.
Lucy.
I'll never forget the look on your face when we walked out of that screening.
I was...
You were mad.
I was... there was so much talent that... people love Neil Patrick Harris.
And Sarah Silverman.
Giovanni Ribisi's a pretty good comedic actor.
Yeah.
It was bad from start to finish.
Just a waste of time.
It was bad. Lucy makes my... The only reason it's not the worst movie of the year is it's mercifully short. It's like 81 minutes, and you're like, okay. If it was 82 minutes, that would have been awful.
That's the Scarlett Johansson movie that I think we both gave a 2 on a scale of 10.
Yes, but the worst movie of the year, because it's so long and so bad and keeps going... is Transformers. Age of Extinction was the worst. It's the worst movie I've seen in a couple years.
Wow.
It's really, really bad.
Now, I remember a little while ago, I gave Foxcatcher a 1 out of 10. The only other movie that I rated a 1 out of 10 this year, 3 Days to Kill, with Kevin Costner as a special forces agent who has to go after somebody while also taking care of his daughter.
I don't even remember that one.
Oh, it was in the movie theater. It didn't last 3 days. They killed it. That's how bad the movie was. There's also Labor Day, the Jason Reitman movie with Josh Brolin and Kate Winslet, that was not heartwarming. It was not funny. It was not exciting in any way. And speaking of not exciting, there was also this year Sex Tape with Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel.
Break the iPads. That'll solve our problem.
Horrible, horrible movie. Also this year, you may forget this because it came out early in the year, The Monuments Men with George Clooney, John Goodman, Matt Damon, Bill Murray, Bob Balaban.
The un-Ocean's 11.
Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
That's a pretty good cast. You get those people together, you think, how can you make a bad movie? Here's how. Watch The Monuments Men, and you'll know how to make a bad movie with those people. And also on my list, this is not in any particular order here, and I know a lot of people hate me for saying this, Interstellar. I know that a lot of people love that movie and it made a ton of money, but I just found it stupid.
Okay. Hey, it was, but I think what we've seen here, there were some really good movies.
Yes, there were.
There were more good movies than bad.
There are more on our best movies list than on our worst movies list. And I would also throw in 3 documentaries. One is the Edward Snowden documentary, Citizen 4, which was the most important documentary of the year. The other one that was great this year was Tim's Vermeer, made by Penn and Teller, directed by Teller, about their friend Tim Jennison, who went and tried to recreate a painting by the Dutch master Vermeer, and how he does it and how he becomes obsessed with doing it and gets down to the most minute details of doing it is a fascinating story. And the third one is Life Itself, the Steve James documentary about Roger Ebert in the throes of cancer and surgery and
I've all, seen that.
All the rest
it's great.
Of the thing. All wonderful movies. So there you go. That's our movie stuff for 2014. Hopefully 2015 won't include anything by Seth MacFarlane.
Or North Korea.
That's right.
North Korea.
All right. Colin's got to head back to the newsroom for some news at the top of the hour. And then once we're done with all of that stuff, I'll be back with the Harris Challenge Year in Review Edition here on the Big 550 KTRS. Meep, meep.
And we're going to get a look at traffic with Timothy Weiland.
All right, Dan, they've just, we've got a new crash now. It's on eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor, and the two right lanes are blocked. They have you backed up to Chesterfield Parkway West. Eastbound 44 at the Merrimack River, you've got 3 lanes blocked due to a crash, and traffic is jammed now from Big Bend all the way down past 270. We've got the good news, westbound 270 at 367, they moved that crash off to the right shoulder. You still have heavy traffic from about Bell Fountain through 367 before things open up. Southbound 141 really jamming up now between Highway 30 and Highway 21. If you're traveling southbound 270, stop and go from north of Page down through Ladue. It's going to find some slow to stop and go pockets now from 40 all the way down through Highway 44. Eastbound 40 downtown, Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 70 slowing Union through Jennings Station. This report brought to you by the Advanced Vaping System from Finn. Are you still smoking? You know how bad it is, so you finally want to quit? For the first time, there's an e-cig that really works. The advanced vaping system from Vin, available in major pharmacies and retailers. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
The Tigers play here on KTRS.
After winning the SEC East, the Missouri Tigers are heading to Disney World. The 10-3 Tigers head to Orlando for the Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day. Mizzou will face the Big Ten's Minnesota Gophers. Coached by Jerry Kill, the Gophers are 8-4. On New Year's Day in the Citrus Bowl, Mizzou will face Minnesota. The game begins at noon. Tiger Network coverage kicks off at 10 a.m. right here on the Big 550 KTRS.
My name is Janet. When it was time to find assisted living for my 85-year-old mother, I was giving numerous recommendations and I'd felt totally overwhelmed. I had visited so many communities, they started to blur together. It wasn't until I visited Brooking Park that I found Mom's new home. From the moment I walked in the front door, I was put at ease in a way that was reassuring and helpful. Everyone was open and friendly, and I knew the atmosphere would be perfect for my mother. Best of all was my mom's reaction. I was surprised at how quickly Brooking Park became her home and her new family.
If you have a loved one who needs a little help maintaining their independence, call Brooking Park at 314-576-5545 or visit brookingpark.org today to see why it ranks among the top-tier nursing homes by U.S. News & World Report.
She made new friends immediately. It's her home.
Brooking Park, an equal opportunity senior community, sponsored by St. Andrew's Resources for Seniors System.
Mom is incredibly happy at Brooking Park.
Want your home to make a statement? Update your home with lighting from Metro Lighting. Their certified lighting specialists are trained to work with you, your builder, or your designer, so you can discover the perfect lighting for your space. For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be a locally owned and operated part of the St. Louis community. And right now, save on LED bulbs with Metro Lighting and Ameren's Act on Energy program. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
Mizzou fans, Lion's Choice has been a tradition since 1967. Stop by today and enjoy our mouth-watering turkey and ham sandwiches, or even try an Italian beef. Lion's Choice. Get real.
For your real estate needs, you need the K. Bova Selling Team, now powered by RE/MAX Properties West. Make your realty dreams a reality. Find the K. Bova Selling Team at sellingstlewis.com.
This is the Big